We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host Hatch with my boy.
Yes, sir, T.O., I am in the building. Yes. You think it, we say it.
Already, every day, all day, you dig? Special guest today, Vernon Davis is up in the building. What's up, my guy?
What up? Good to be here, man.
Fellow 49er, San Francisco 49er.
Was y'all there at the same time?
No, we didn't cross paths. No.
You know what? Thank you. I'm glad you didn't have to play with this dude. I'm so glad.
But we're linked. We're linked indirectly.
Okay, so this is what I really want to
talk about. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about he got the catch two, I got the catch three.
No, so there it is, there it is, there it is.
I mean, it shouldn't be really be two catches.
That's it?
And the whole thing? Yeah, that should be, only two. So they just made up a catch three.
So when you got there, he was already gone, right? Yeah, so gone. What was the temperature in the building when he left? Was there still conversations about when he left, or did you get any of that, or he was already gone too long already?
Oh, no, there was conversation. I mean, you talk about guys like him and Jerry Rice and,
right.
You know, those guys who left a great legacy behind. Mm-hmm. You know, in the franchise. So he was always talked about, not just in the franchise, in the building, but outside the building as well. You know,
right.
I knew people that knew him, hung out with him,
hung out with them.
So it's kind of like, becomes a family, you know, like a network.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a 49er or a Redskin?
You know, I would say, I would kind of say both, because I grew up rooting for the Washington football team and being able to go back there and play for my hometown team is always
That like? Because like I said, I grew up in Alabama. We didn't have a professional team. But how was that? Like you said, who do you identify with most? And then obviously you just answered that. But to go back to where you grew up and then play for a professional football team, did you have to get a lot of tickets? You have a lot of family? Was it a lot of distractions? I know at this point in time, late in your career, you know how to handle all those things, but was it a lot to kind of, you know, embody going back home?
You know, well, not this time around, because I was old. I was more mature. You know, when I arrived, I was, 33 years old. So I'd already been through, you know, getting all the tickets and all this and that. But there was some excitement because, you know, I was happy to be back in front of my family and friends, and, you know, it was just a lot of excitement. So I did, by the first game, I had 20 tickets, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the organization would give me tickets, too, because they knew I was from there.
Yeah.
So it was, I had more control over everything.
So were you motivated to put on for the city?
Man, I was motivated, man. I was going out, I was at all the events.
You know,
I found that I had a girlfriend. And it was just like, it was a spark. You know, I felt like I was rejuvenated.
No, because I saw you toward the end of your career. Like I said, you kind of up and down, but then go to Washington. I'm like, okay, we start seeing some flashes of when you came out of college.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Everybody knew you for the speed, catching. And you saw that rejuvenation.
Yeah, man, it was interesting because when I left Denver, you know, Denver didn't want to sign me back. Washington was the first team that reached out because Scott McLuhan was there. You probably know Scott McLuhan, the general manager of the 49ers at the time.
No, I don't know him, but I...
But you're familiar with him. So he was there. He reached out, and I went in. I took a pay cut. You know, I took a pay cut. The next thing, you know, I was like, I'm just going to have to prove and show them that I can still play this game because they was like, oh, he's declining. But when I got there, I think 6 games through that season, they wanted to re-sign me for 3 more years.
Mm.
So I ended up signing back $5 million a year after that season was over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, wow. Yeah. All right, so yeah, so you're from Maryland. Let's go back a little bit. Coming out of high school, right, you obviously a physical specimen, right? And we're always talking about the trying to get our point across to the kids is you don't have to be a superstar to make it to the NFL, right? You don't have to have all that early success, right? You seem to have a lot of early success. How did you handle it and stay motivated and stay competitive, like, within your own body as far as going through this whole process?
You're talking about early on, just that consistency, right?
Yeah,
I think when Vernon with the hair.
that guy.
The hypey boom. All that crazy stuff. No, I just, I think just realizing, like, everything that you go through in life, just all the fears and the things that you struggle with as a kid, like, you know, whether it's your mom, your dad, just anything you have, I think just embodying that and just keeping that with you at the top of your mind and saying that, hey, I don't want to, I can't go back to where I came from, so I have to do everything that I have to do to be able to get to where I'm trying to go, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, where you came from, was that, did you consider, like, you know, your upbringing, like the neighborhood, how bad or how good was that?
Oh, it was tough. I was on probation in sixth grade.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, I got arrested twice in sixth grade.
Oh, you're a bad kid. You're a juvenile.
What happened? Okay, what happened then? Tell it. We all get to tell it now.
How'd your kids
hide?
Yeah,
hide everything.
Yeah, so what happened in sixth grade then,
man? No, it's one of those things, man. It's like, it wasn't me. It was just the, I was a product of my environment. Right. It was the people that I was following. You know what I mean? So it was, I guess it was just, I really wanted to be something in life. So I knew that I had to stop. When I got in seventh grade, I said, all right, I'm gonna pull back. I went to a school away from the friends that I grew up with because I knew that I was protected there. I didn't have to be with them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Was that your mom, your dad, removing you from that environment?
No, I didn't have my mom and dad. Oh. My grandparents raised me and my six siblings.
Oh, wow, okay. Sexy guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So was it her removing you from that environment, seeing that you were kind of going off the beaten path?
Nope, because she didn't have anything to do. She didn't even want me to play football. My grandmother never even been to a game.
Same.
Wow. Yeah,
same.
See, you see what I'm saying?
Same.
So, you know, she never been to a game. So it was just all me just wanting to just do what I
want
to
change.
I just wanted to change. I just wanted to be something in life. So I knew that I knew what I had to do, you know, because of the things that was installed upon me from my grandmother at an early age. So I just kind of listened. It's all about listening. Yeah, listened, I absorbed the information, and I applied it.
Well, that's powerful because now you have a son, right? Again, he's around that, the one that's around that age. It's like, now that you see how important that environment is, are you watching to make sure that he's not getting into, you know, in the wrong crowd?
No, not really, because I lead by example. So I got him around me all the time. So they kind of see how I move, how I operate, follow me on Instagram. So it's one of those things where I continue to relay the information. And I just trust that he's getting that information, he's doing what he has to do. And I observe him.
I make sure
he's a good kid, he's a great kid, good grades. And I talk to him all the time. I was like, look, I did what I had to do in life.
Now it's
your turn. You listen or you don't. But at the end of the day, you have to deal with the consequences and the things that you put out there later on, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Make sure that you continue to listen, pay attention, always respect your mom and dad, do what you gotta do.
That's awesome, man.
Sounds like, you know, like me being raised with my grandmother, just being respectful, being mannerable, you know, knowing, because they're going to, like you said, they're going to instill in you how they were raised, hoping, like you said, you listen
and take heed to.
You're basically doing the same thing. So same thing I try to do with my kids, you know what I mean? Like I said, not having a father figure in the household. You want to try to be the best example that you can be for them. And then for me, I know what it was like not to have a dad, so I try to replace, you know, be to them what my dad wasn't for me.
You know what? There's a conversation we haven't talked about on the show, but I see a lot of former athletes, right? We're always saying, okay, for our kids to make it to our level, right? We had a certain desire. We had a certain, we want to get out this situation that we're in because it was bad, right? But when you're a professional athlete, your kids were spoiled compared to what your upbringing was.
Right.
What do you see there as far as this new generation, and how are you going to, like, differentiate that as a father figure for your kids, in your opinion?
As far as them being spoiled, you say?
Like what path? Like, and because they might not be spoiled to you, yeah. but to us, when we look at kids now, they get everything. So we yeah. think all these kids are spoiled. Like, how are you going to make it to the NFL if you don't have a dying desire to get out of the situation you're in? Because that's how we all kind of made it. We wanted to change. We wanted to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
We would die to go play pro ball, right? And now it's like
a lot of these kids expect things to be given to them because
right because they're such and such because their dad was such and such.
They don't want to put in the work to actually, you know, do it.
They don't want to put in the work. Yeah, it's you're right because they're lazy. They want to play video games. They want to look at social media, Instagram.
And we know that's not going to make it. You can't make it doing that.
No, you're right. You're right. It's just it goes back to one of those things. It's just like you don't really. So me, I don't really push football or sports on my kids. I kind of I push education and just them being good human beings.
Nice.
And I'll go back to my grandmother's principles too. As far as me giving them, I don't give them what they want. I give them what they need. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they always want this, they want that. But I can't. I'm not gonna. That don't mean I'm gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
You got to work for it.
Yeah.
Like my son, he wanted. He said, "Dad, can you get me these shoes?
Right.
You, I want. Can you give me $50? Mom, not gonna give me money to my Cash App.
Right.
I was like, okay. See all these clothes right here.
There you go.
All my clothes that I got in my bath. Go get them. Go wash them and fold them up.
Yeah.
He did it. I gave him his $50.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, because it's something we talk about a lot, but we don't really put it on wax a lot, just because it's like, well. Because people always ask, why do professional athletes' kids not go play pro sports? And I go, there's a fine line there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's just, like, tough to be like, well, yeah, the kid was 6'7 or 6'8, and his dad was in the NBA, so he should be in the NBA. Right. It's not that easy, right?
Yeah.
That upbringing, it's a little bit different, especially nowadays in 2021.
Right. We didn't have any choice but to go outside and grind and play sports or whatever. We didn't have all these extra things that directed or diverted our attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't have computers. We didn't have, you know, we had video games, but now these kids are constantly on all these social media apps, platforms, or what have you, and it occupies and monopolizes all their time. That's all they want to do. They don't want to go outside. Like, we had
no
go
choice.
Outside and play. You know what I mean? It was hot. It didn't matter. 100 degrees, we outside playing basketball, we playing football, we play baseball.
Making up games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So now these kids, like I said, I mean, they're so enthralled with, you know, YouTube highlights, and they think that they're going to get better just watching highlights and seeing guys, you know, play at the top of their game. Like, I mean, we're about to witness, you know, Steph Curry do some great things. You see KD, you see LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
They see all the... They see the benefits of the hard work. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. What made you Vernon Davis, you know what I mean? The number one pick, you know what I mean? Coming out, you know, being a top receiver, I mean, top tight end.
Right.
They didn't see what went into that, you know what I mean? As fans, they just see the fruits of the labor, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. The ESPN clip.
Right, right. So, I mean, my son is the same way. I'm always trying to encourage him, like, yo, this is what's needed, you know what I mean, to get to this level. You know, yeah, I may be your dad. Yeah, my name may hold some weight. It may open some doors, but ultimately, you're gonna have to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's dope.
Yeah, we were talking prior to the show. We were talking about your son. You were telling me like your kid's got natural ability.
Yeah.
Did you see that, or are you seeing it now? And are you gonna push them? Like for me, I didn't push my kids to play any sports. Whatever they wanted to play, I'm gonna support them. Like my son. Like I said, he wanted to play basketball early on. He didn't get into football until like his 11th and 12th grade year. And now he's at Missouri State going into his junior year. But like I said, I didn't push him into playing receiver. Everybody's like, well, what position does he play?
Mm.
He wanted to play receiver. Has the body for it. I'm going to encourage him, support him. Your kids.
Yeah. Well, my oldest son is 14. I saw it when we were in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And he was playing flag football. He started making all these moves, cutting and... It was very impressive. So I was like, oh, yeah, he got it. I can tell, to be honest. Then when I went to his first game this year, he was so dominant, man. He was going across the middle, he was catching hands. And then we'd be at the playground. So what I do is instead of coaching him, I make up games with my kids.
Okay.
So I run routes. I got me, and I'll catch it over the left side. I'll catch it over the right side. Okay. And, you know, I'm just doing like practice. Mm-hmm. And I say, y'all got to follow, do everything I do. So then I go throw it to them.
Nice.
So now I don't look like I'm coaching them.
Right.
So now that's when I'm out there, I can see their ability and I'm like, okay, yeah. They draft picks.
Yeah, because when you have fun with it, it's not like you're out there teaching them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't think it's, you know, you're coaching or what have you. You're just out there just, you know, just having fun.
Coach Davis.
Having father-son time.
They don't feel the pressure, you know what I mean? And we're just playing and running drills and playing, but they don't know that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But at some point now, so he's what, 14?
He's 14.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't even bother. I don't even coach. We just still play that game.
We go play the little game. So when is it going to get serious? When is it going to get serious? You know, like, okay, I can see you maybe playing. Obviously, you got to get through high school, college, and then possibly playing at the next level. So do you think, from what you've witnessed, that he has next level potential?
Oh, yeah, next level for sure. Oh, yeah, it's all up here. Mm-hmm. He can play next level for sure, because I can see the things that he's doing now. He's out there just, it's like, he's a man.
He's a man amongst boys right now, and what he's doing
he's just raw.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you were. You're like a man amongst boys too, especially with the speed. What kind of speed does he have? Does he have good speed? Because you're
he can run. I can't see. I've never really seen him open up, but I've seen him just break away from
like
people.
Like a burst.
But I don't know what kind of speed that is.
You know what I mean?
But I can tell he can run.
Right. You came out, that's what was, you were known for your speed. Because I was like, man, everybody kept talking about, man, this guy, Vernon Davis.
4-3 guy.
Like, man.
He was a 4-3 guy. There's only two 4-3 guys. You were 4-3, right? You got close to
three.
So there's only two 4-3 guys on the panel. That's why I'm saying. So the conversation really is going to exclude this guy. There's only two 4-3s out here. So, but what were you saying, Mr. Slow Guy? What were you saying, my man?
So that's what we're doing? Okay, cool. I wasn't a 4-3, but I was never caught from behind. Yeah, I never caught, never caught from behind.
Feel speed. Certain guys, like even Jerry Rice, he got field speed, man. Yeah, he might not be the fastest 40 guy, but one thing about when they get on that field,
ain't nobody
got game speed.
Right, absolutely.
I can name a lot of guys like that, man.
Absolutely.
Frank Gore, Crabtree, all these guys I played with, they just got field speed, man.
Right. Let me ask you. But you had it, before we go there, but you had it, though. And like I said, when you came out, everybody kept talking about, like, yo, because, you know, tight ends, like, you know, he's the next best tight end. So, you got Gronk. I played with Brent Jones back in the day. You know, you had Dallas Clark, some of the tight ends, Jason Witten.
Right.
But they weren't known for their speed.
No.
So I'm like, man, if he got hands like these guys, he has the speed, I'm like, yo, Shannon Sharpe, I'm like, yo, this dude's about to break some records.
Right.
You know, barring any injury, I'm like, man, this dude is about to be what they call a problem. Mm. And that's what you were. I saw that. Like, I saw that transformation. Like, I saw it in college. I saw the highlights. And I'm like, man, this dude is about to be serious. So you came in, you did your thing. What was, like, when you came out, obviously, like, you kind of transcended the tight end position, because now you got hands, you got guys that obviously you can, you know, you can work against DBs, nickel guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you were ragdolling, like, linebackers. Mm. It was a mismatch. Who were some of the tight ends coming out, if you had anybody, or you just wanted to come in and just play football? I mean, sometimes that's usually how it is. Like, you don't have an idol, you don't have a guy you look up to, you just want to go play football.
Yeah, I always looked at Shannon Sharpe, Antonio Gates. I looked at everybody, and I tried to, like, take a little bit from everybody I watched. And then I look at wide receivers, look at you, look at Jerry. Who else did I look at? I look at
Tony
Michael
Gonzalez,
Irvin.
All those
guys. Just all those guys, because it became like, I couldn't really watch a lot of wide tight ends because I had to watch receivers, because I was starting, when I was with North Turner, he became more of a wide receiver. I was like, whoa. Because when I walked in the league, I was like, whoa, this is different.
Right.
Because I was running.
Right, because you had that
speed. Yeah, and then it started running all these deep balls. So I was like, damn, now I got to work on tracking the ball. So then I started working on tracking the ball. Yeah. And because I was like, these guys using me downfield. So I started running downfield a lot, catching all these deep balls and stuff. And, so it's just one of those things, just taking what I saw and just working on it.
But did you embrace that? Because, like I said, that's different. I mean, I'm sure
different field.
North saw that, and he'd be like, oh, my gosh, we have somebody, like, with the exceptional, extraordinary talent, skill set. Like, yo, we can create mismatches. Because somebody with your speed, your size, linebackers aren't used to carrying,
can't run with you,
you know, tight ends like that, especially with breakaway speed and the speed that you had.
Yeah, I started. It's interesting because when I first came in, I was covered by a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And then they started seeing what I was doing. They was like, oh, no, we can't cover him with
him. Right.
Like, hey,
bring
no,
the safety
no,
down.
No, we're sending me down the middle. Then, you know, started go down the middle. Then I'm doing, then I'm running wheel routes up the sideline. When I'm not, then they started putting the safety on. Then the safety couldn't cover me. Then they started going to, like, a nickel or putting a corner, you know, the corner, smaller guy, faster guy, you know what I mean, that could run with me.
Right.
So, yeah, then it just, then next thing you know, they started using me for a lot of deep routes because I was always the fastest guy on the team.
I was always
expected to get downfield all the time. So it was cool just seeing the transition and just seeing how the team started to use me and things of that nature.
So. I know we got a lot of other stuff to talk to you about as far as the entertainment side, but before we get there, I want to talk about more football stuff, right? Mm. So give us your top five tight ends of all time.
Oh, top five tight ends of all time.
You can put your five in
Rob
there.
Rob Gronkowski.
Okay,
I want to say Rob Gronkowski, Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. Right now, who else? Shannon Sharp.
You can go all the way back
all
to
way
the
back.
To Kellen Winslow if you want.
Tony Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. Okay, that's three.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates. Yeah.
And man, I want
that's
I
four
two guys that played. They were
I'm
not saying.
I'm
not
saying Kellen. Man, my guy, Kellen Winslow Senior. Man.
Yeah,
I got to throw him in there.
Yeah,
he was a
the legend.
Was a beast.
Really,
I didn't
legend,
really
man.
Watch
man,
my.
He was the
beast,
he was the
man.
First tweener, if you will.
Yeah,
he's the first
yeah,
tight end I ever saw go out wide.
I mean, I didn't know much of until I heard of Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah,
and then they were like, "Yo, his
wait till you see the dad."
I'm like, "That's crazy."
Long run. I mean, he could do it all. Catch like a wide receiver.
That's how your son gonna be. It's gonna be. What's your son's name? Is he a Vernon?
Gianni.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's not okay.
No,
but yeah, but it's gonna be the same thing.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Vernon Davis, Johnny. Okay,
yeah, that's awesome. We cool.
Yeah,
right. Keep his head right. Keep his mind right.
It's all mental, right?
Yeah.
It's all mental game.
Hey, he's gonna keep that right because I already know.
Yeah, because you,
yeah.
You've been that. You great parents. You gonna keep that head on straight for sure.
Yeah,
stand in here. So again, after ball, right? You're dibbling, dabbling here in the entertainment business. So tell us how the transition's gone so far for you.
Oh no, it's been great. I was calling around. So right before I got done playing, I was calling around looking for a manager.
Okay.
And I found a guy named Henry Pinzi, who I collaborated with, and he was working with Rob Gronkowski.
Henry, he's used to model, right?
No, he didn't model.
No, that's what
Henry Pinzi.
That's what your man said when he walked in. I don't know that's what.
He said he used to model.
Is that the dude? The Fonzie? Is that Fonzie from Happy Days?
No.
Oh, that's Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
So he was working. Rob, because his brother's my backup in college. His brother put his tight end with me in Maryland.
Okay.
And then I met his family.
Henry?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This Henry. So he's working with Gronk.
And so the athletic ability, it just skipped over him.
Who? Henry?
It just skipped over him. You can say it if you want. It just skipped over him.
No, Henry wasn't no athlete. He was working with Rob Gronkowski, and then I was like, oh, I know Gronk really well because his brother was my back. Rob Gronkowski's brother.
Oh, Rob's brother. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's my backup in Maryland, so I knew the family already. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to work with him. So then after that, so what happened when I was about to retire, I had a script, and I wanted to produce it myself. It's called Red Winter. And then I met a guy who had this other script, and I produced that myself. It's called Message from Brianna.
Okay.
After that, and I started doing, I got a role, did two movies with Bruce Willis, one with John Malkovich, and then I had a lead role with Morgan Freeman, where I had to speak in a South African dialect. I learned Zulu.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell me to learn Zulu, but as an athlete, as we do, right?
Right.
We go above and beyond. So I messaged this girl on Instagram in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, can you help me on this?
Mm-hmm.
So she helped me. And next thing you know, I learned a little Zulu, so when I, you know, I go in and I see Morgan, he didn't know I was going to use it.
Right.
And I start speaking, I can tell he was a little off, because he's like, what the fuck?
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So I put the Zulu on him.
nice. Yeah, good. Yeah. That's what you
not
should.
The voodoo, but the Zulu.
Zulu. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That Zulu on him.
So I play a serial killer. And then after that, I got another role playing this football player, NFL football player, mm-hmm. who's dying from liver failure.
Okay.
It's on a Sony platform called PureFlix.
Okay.
So I play that role with William Allen, and it was pretty cool. It's pretty crazy role because it was so. I felt like it was really me because I lived it. Toradol, Advil. Mm-hmm. You know, we go out and we drink alcohol right after the game, right?
Mm. Right.
So it affects people's liver and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I felt like I was really in. He's, you know, the kid and the character. He had won a Super Bowl. You know, he played 8 years, and now all of a sudden he's in the hospice. He don't think he's dying. His father don't think he's dying, but he's actually dying. Everybody goes and is dying.
Okay.
So I'm on this bed, and you see the progression of me going from this lively guy walking in and coming in a wheelchair. Now all of a sudden I'm pale, my lips, and I'm going to
Body's
do my
just
mom.
Debilitated.
Yeah, so it was like, it was script. It was really
awesome.
Yeah, it was just a lot there. Mm-hmm. So right. Yeah, I can't wait for people to see that because we did.
So when is that coming out? Is that
that should come out 2022 as well.
2022, okay.
Yeah. And what's the name of it?
It's called. This was called Going Home.
Going Home.
It's about an award-winning nurse who works at a hospice.
Nice.
So each episode is a different situation.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice home. Now you want to focus.
He's going home too. His hip is.
Yes,
his hip is going
hospice home. Hospice home. That's the name of it.
That hip is really bad. He's going to be going home here pretty soon.
So, actor, producer, director, writer, all those. One of those two lanes. One of those four lanes. Like, what's the focus for like the next 10 to 20 years?
I think that and doing television shows. I like the show. I got a pretty cool show coming out on Fox called Domino Masters.
Okay.
It's a competition show.
Nice.
It's like we have like bringing 16 teams and they have a chance to build this world out of dominoes. They topple them.
Nice.
We have sports night. We have all kinds of stuff. We had like some special guests come on. That was pretty cool because it's all about competition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm passionate about. I like doing it. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fun.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So creating content.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, being out here in L.A., like I said, you're definitely moving to L.A. I can already tell. You know, you ain't here yet, but you're moving here.
Yeah.
It's like the more you can do. It's like NFL. Like, the more you can do, the longer you stick around. Right.
Yeah.
But the focus part for people who don't know how to focus, I think, is what people get caught up of coming out here trying to enjoy it. You've already done that, right? Playing the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, so your aspirations, like, you want to be, like, the best award-winning? You want some Oscars? You want some medals? You know, what's the big goal?
Yeah, what's the accomplishment there?
I think the accomplishment is just like where we come from, just being, doing it and just being successful at it. You know,
okay.
I think it's just more the joy of being able to do it, start it, do it, put the work in,
just see where it goes.
And just
so you're not looking for the accolades just yet. You know what I mean?
No, I don't really care about that. I just care about the success of it, being able to do it and do it on a high level and just do it right and just perfect it and just own it. You know, like we do football, just own it. The preparation in it is the best part because once you do something consistently over time, you're going to get good at it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I got my coach and we're doing it twice a week, 2 days a week, I'm going to get good at it.
Yep.
So it's just
put the time in,
the
repetition.
Rep.
How did you feel after you went to your first audition?
The first audition was.
What was it?
It was tough. What was it? It was something. I forget what the role was, but it was just me, just doing me. Like I didn't have any direction.
Right, yeah. Your experience.
Yeah, I didn't have any direction. I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. And then when I started to really get into it, I learned so much, man. I learned about, like, the best actors. You look at them, they don't even blink when they get their close-ups.
Right.
They got their eyes. They don't really blink. They don't move their eyebrows. Right.
They're still.
Just little Michael Caine talks about it. He has something on YouTube. he talks about all this stuff. When you're in front of the camera, you don't want to be a distraction. Like, if the camera's here, right. if that camera's here, I want to kind of, instead of looking here, kind of open, put this eye on that eye. That way I got more face to the camera.
Right, you see what I'm saying? Angles,
like,
yeah.
all the little details. It's the stuff that I went back and I started looking at. Because, like, this stuff can help me when I'm on camera, you know? Just little things. And just really being in tune to the script, to the character, breaking it down. Mm-hmm. You know, giving the backstory, finding fears, and you know what makes this character tick. Mm-hmm. Relating yourself to the character,
coming up with
your objective. Your objectives. Once you do all that work, you don't have to do anything else. You can just let it go because it's gonna be in you. You be surprised. You just be on set. You be like, what the fuck? Like you just start getting into it. Yeah.
Like, this is
you don't even know. Like right now, like when I just go, I just do it. You don't even think about it. You just do the work,
and because you're already that person.
Yeah, you know your moment before. You know where you're coming from. You know where you're going. Yeah. You got your objectives. You've already did all the work. Yeah. You know everything. You know what the character's afraid of. You know, and you did the work.
You studied the script. You've gone through it. You kind of know.
Done it.
Yeah.
You've done it. You got your everything, your beats, your actions, your objectives, everything you need to have. Right. So I have like, I'll have my binder. This coach that I have named Kevin Benton from Tasha Smith Studio.
Yeah, yeah.
He taught me to have this binder. So I got this binder and I keep a binder on every job I do. Mm-hmm. And I'll have like 15, 20 pages of work that I've written.
Backstory, now. Yeah.
Backstory, absolutely. Character breakdown, comparing myself to him. And, yep.
So is this what you learned in football transitioning, helping you with your acting?
I think the dedication, the consistency of what we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like you'll be out there till catching the ball one hand, catching like this. You'll probably be outside all day outworking everybody. Because that's what you've learned, instilled upon yourself from a very young age, and that's what got you to the Hall of Fame. But that's the same stuff we put into this, same stuff. Just do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like whether it's TikTok, whatever it is, you're doing it. You're always doing it.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I do now. I'm always doing it. I'm always doing something. And I don't care what it is. It's something.
Yeah.
Whether it's reading, and I'm reading now. When I read a book, I'm not reading it like you read a book. I'm reading it like I'm reading a script.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's just habits. The world is your book now.
Right.
You know, when you're so tuned into doing one thing, you're taking everything you're seeing every single day. Like, I can go sit at the airport and look for 3 hours and, like, pick up something little from 20 different people as a make it a character. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Like the world is your oyster.
That's why I said book. I didn't say oyster.
I know. I knew where you were getting at.
I just wanted to be oyster. I just wanted to be book.
I just wanted to enlighten our viewers. I just wanted to enlighten our viewers. We knew what we were talking about.
No, we don't know.
You knew what you were talking about. No, I do.
Okay,
I did. You know what I mean? That's why I shared it with our viewers.
Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Sharing is caring. That's what we do on here.
And you know our motto, we think it,
we say it.
You think it, we say it.
You dig?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
So who's somebody that you might want to work with in the future?
Dude, like, I love to work. I knew you were going to say that. I love to work with Will Smith, man. I'm reading his book right now called Will. Have you read it?
We went to the book launching.
Oh, so you know about it? You seen the book?
Yeah.
So you know everything in that book he's talking?
Yeah.
Dude, that book is so great. His grandma's name is Gigi. My grandma's name is Gigi.
Really?
That's very spiritual.
Crazy.
And part of liking that book is when his mom was telling him that he couldn't go be a rapper.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He was like, you could be rapping.
You gotta go to school.
Right?
Yeah, school's way more important than you rapping, young boy. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you go back to Pursuit of Happiness when he was telling his son, he was like, you got a dream, you go after it.
That was his
Don't
idea.
Let anybody. That was him. That's because his mom was telling him.
Yeah.
Man, it's powerful, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So many people miss out on opportunities that they want to do for themselves because their parents want them to do something else.
Come on, preach.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't want to get too deep into that right there, but I was just talking to somebody earlier. I'm like, somebody at 25, you literally have to go tell your parents, I'm not listening to you no more, mom. I'm not listening to you no more, dad, because I got to go chase my dreams. Because a lot of parents, like, I don't want you to chase your dreams. I want you to be an accountant. I want you to be a cop, whatever those things are.
They want kids to chase their dreams.
Yeah. Right. You can't do that. Go chase your own dreams is kind of what you just said.
But sometimes it's not even parents, too. It's society.
There you go.
Because let me tell you something. My biological granddad was an artist. I didn't find this out until I left college.
Wow.
So as a kid, I was always intrigued by art, but I couldn't do art because I let the environment shape that for me.
Mm.
If I was walking around with a canvas,
You ain't cool.
In the hood,
yeah,
I ain't.
You,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I couldn't pursue art. I couldn't do it. But now when I got to college.
Nerd,
exactly.
Yeah.
Man, exactly. Get out of here with that damn canvas and pen.
Exactly. Ain't that crazy though,
knock
man?
Knock it out your hand. Little dude, get out of here with all of that.
But when I get to college, I felt free. I felt open. So I changed my major from criminal justice to art studio, and I pursued art. Then after I left college, guess what? I found out my biological granddad was an artist.
And you was now, already
that's
going,
why I was intrigued by
it. You was already going in that lane.
In that DNA.
So now, man, now I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing, I can do poetry, I'm acting, I can do my painting, I can do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. It was always there, but I just couldn't do it because I was afraid.
You like art?
I love
what
it.
What did you do in this canvas right here? It's a big canvas right there.
It's this stay camera ready. This stay camera ready. You don't need to touch it.
Big,
you
see that
you
canvas?
Stay camera ready. You dig?
Yeah,
so it's all good. So again, when you were playing, did you want to do that stuff, or were you just so focused on football at that moment you didn't even think about anything after?
No, I didn't really think about acting and all that stuff. I was just more painting, and I was doing the paint because I opened up an art gallery in San Jose.
While you were playing?
Called
still.
Gallery 85, yeah, while I was playing. Yeah, I had a big grand opening and all that stuff. So I had local artists come. They would, the work that they showcased, whenever they sold it, 50% would go back to the Bernard Davis Foundation for the Arts.
Nice.
The 50% would go back to them.
Nice.
That's how I would do it. That's awesome. All I was doing. And then, like, when I got midway through my time with San Francisco, I took a class at the Shelton Theater of Art downtown San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, that's when I really fell in love with the craft. So then I started doing other things. And
Wow.
Yeah.
Because, again, we talk about this a lot. It's like when we're playing, especially the organization, especially your coaches, they don't want you to do anything else. And I remember just playing. I was always trying to go do things outside of football, but we were looked at in a bad way. Like, you can't do that. You're supposed to be focused. Yeah. Like, I am focused on football, but I also have a life after I get done playing football.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked that question, because it's, they want you to just do this thing. And then when you're done, beg from the NFL some more, be broke, and come back. Or like, but you have to do other things. You have to follow more than one passion.
Yeah.
Perfect example of being more than an athlete. And I think all of us have kind of experienced, you know, kind of been at that fork in the road. Like, okay, knowing that at some point, okay, well, what do I do? Where do I go? You know what I mean? I think that's admirable that in that you found your passion and you kind of realize, okay, these are some of the things that I'm interested in, and you pursue those things. As he said, you know, sometimes, like you said, as you said too, society puts us in a box. I'm like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. So
awesome. And again, it's I hated it when I was playing. I just hated that. I didn't understand it, you know, because it was just like, well, you're gonna get cut. You're gonna get cut if you don't focus on just that, you know.
Right.
So it was, we were so scared to go do anything else.
Yeah.
Right, so it's like,
because everything was predicated on wins and losses, you know.
But
I mean,
it's not like that now.
No, yeah,
because all these guys are doing 20 other things now, which is great, you know.
Right. Again, it can be great and it can be bad if you're not producing.
If
you're not producing,
right?
So you know what I mean, now it's like, okay, well, what is he doing? Like, you know, he's not focused. You know, he's
too
focused on business.
Right.
And all that
or it could be, you know, other things.
Oh yeah, they tried me with them.
Yeah.
I was opening up these. I opened up a couple of Jamba Juices when I was in San Francisco. When I wasn't doing well, they blamed it. Oh, he's too busy. His focus is not here. You know what I mean? They will always want to blame it on something else when you're not something's going on. I mean, I wasn't performing because I had injuries.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't because of what I was doing.
Right. And I'm trying to go make a better living for my life after football.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to scale and do things differently.
Yeah. Right. Because that's the goal.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So now in the from this point on, like, director, want to do the directing?
No, not necessarily directing, more producing and just being in front of the camera.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Can you write? Got a pen at all?
I can write. I wrote some things, but I'm not in the format from an idea creative standpoint.
Right. Just write the concept.
Yeah, I don't really have
anybody else flesh it out.
I don't really want to learn how to like write a script.
Writing's
or nothing
tough.
Like that. I just want to come up with the ideas and have somebody else. Yeah, put it in the format. Yeah.
Somebody else flesh it
out.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I do it that way.
People are like, why don't you write? Like, you got some great ideas. Like, it's just an idea. That's
right. Writing is a whole nother.
You got to be in it for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's 20, 30 years before you really become a good writer.
You got to be really like out there, kind of like creative.
Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So now that you're in it and you get a bunch of calls from people you know, I got scripts, I got this, like how do you handle that?
Well, I look at the script. You know, I can read it. I can normally read a script. I can look at the script and tell if it's a good one just by getting into it. Mm-hmm. Or if it's something that I'm interested in, you know, we'll have a conversation about it. But I can now identify, like, if a character that I really like, I can tell. But it just takes, over time, you just learn to just how to adjust it, you know, how to digest everything.
I remember the first probably 2.5-3 months when I was first got out here, I probably read about 150 scripts, because that's all I heard from the first 10 people that I had meetings with. It's all about the script. It's all about the script. So I just started reading everything, you know. And it baffles me when people come up to me, hey, I got the best script you've ever read. Fucking breaks, you know. Like, I'm sure it's good, but, you know, have you ever written anything? No, but this is the best. Pump your brakes, you know, because you still want to encourage them, right? And you still have to take in consideration. It could be a great idea if we get this script to the next level, you know, but at the same time, it's like you can't just take everything on as a producer, if you
will. You can't take everything on. It has to be a good one.
Right, right.
It's all about who you got attached to it, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got the right people attached. Oh, you can get the financing right away.
Absolutely. Right? Big name is attached. Oh, easy peasy. So, all right. Let me give you a scenario, right? Independent film. This is just, you know, just hypothetical. Independent film up for an Oscar or $300 million budget movie for Marvel. Can only have one. Can only do one.
Man, I'm going with the $300 million.
Okay.
I can't turn that one.
Because usually they're not in the same lane, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'm going with that one. I don't know. I just
You'll wait on that Oscar.
Yeah,
huh?
I get that. I just something about it, man. It's all on your preference. What do you want for yourself? How do you feel about a certain thing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all preference.
And like you said, they're in different lanes.
Totally.
But his answer tells me, like, okay, you can tell he's from that background of just doing work. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just be given anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to go through that process of possibly gaining that. Right. You don't want anybody to just put it in your lap.
Yeah. Right.
But the idea, like I said, it's there for the taking.
Yeah.
That's what I got from his answer. So that's cool. Yeah, I want to go back to football a little bit.
Good enough.
Because you have a brother that played. How was that? You know what I mean? Because I can't imagine. You know what I mean? If he was my brother, I couldn't imagine really playing with him or against him. You know what I mean? But your brother played on the other side of the ball. And obviously you guys played against each other.
I never really played against him.
You didn't?
No. That's crazy.
Because
I know y'all look at the schedule every year. It was like, you got y'all this year.
And I was hoping he'd match up or had to match up on me or something like that.
Right. I thought you guys did. You never crossed paths. That's crazy.
That is crazy. How long were y'all in the league together?
He played 10 years. I played 14.
So his whole 10, you guys were both in the league at the same time? Or like,
Yeah, we're in the league at the same time.
That's crazy that you guys never played together. I knew y'all was going to probably be talking trash.
I wasn't going to take it easy on him. I was going to let him have it. I was going to give him all I had.
Oh, and I know him. He thought he was going to give it to you. Knowing him.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to take it light on him.
That's crazy.
You don't take it lightly.
You go try to mush him. You go try to mush him for sure.
Oh, yeah. I try to get off one, of course. Oh, you can't let your especially your little brother out there.
It
don't happen that way.
Let's talk about it. I know did you guys talk about, like, how he ended up just ending his career? Because I think he went in at halftime and he didn't even come back out. Yeah. And he just, like, this is it. Did you guys talk about that or what went into that?
Man, it was crazy, man. I was sitting in the locker room. He called me. He was like, he called me like five times. So I'm in the game. You know, we all came out at the same time. He was his halftime was doing my time. So I look at my phone. I call him back. I'm like, damn, this is weird. I was like, what's up? He's like, I called to let you know I'm retired. I was like, boy, you crazy.
This is at halftime, in the middle of the game.
This was at halftime. I was at halftime, and he was in his car going, because I guess the rest of the team, it went back out.
Yeah.
And then he in his car driving. Wow. Everybody get outside, probably. He's like, damn, we're going to here. He driving home, calling me. That's what he called me. I'm like, boy, you crazy. I'm going to call you back.
Stop playing, man.
He's like, nah, I'm serious, bro. I'm retired. Unless you got a game. So you
like right now? Like right now.
You know, you got the TV on. You know, you got the TV on in the locker room.
Right.
I just seen you make a play.
Right.
You just had a fumble recovery. I was like, go ahead, boy, you crying. And I look at my text, my agent texts me, and then my grandmother texts me. I'm like, damn. I was like, nah, man, he ain't just do, nah, nah.
They tripping.
Nah, he tripping. I felt like he let me down. Because, you know, I was the one in seventh, no, what grade was it? When I was in high school, he's like, you know, he's 4 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I was pulling him by his hand, making him go jump the bleachers and making up workouts, having, because I wanted to take him. In my eyes, in my mind, I wanted to take him along the journey where I was going.
Right, right, right.
Because, you know what I mean, he's your little brother. You want him to make it too.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like he let me down. You know what I'm saying? Wow, you feel like your little brother let you down. I'm like, nah, he ain't just do that. No.
So now that it's old, did he ever give you a reason as to like what came upon him? Like, at that point in time, like, why halftime? Like during the game.
Right.
Like usually people
wait till
make that decision after the game.
Exactly, and that's what I was thinking. I couldn't understand it. But then when I got back, it took me a little while to kind of really digest it and understand, okay.
Process it.
Uh-huh. Not just because he's my brother. Yeah, he's my brother, so I got to support him.
Right.
But I still need to understand what's going on here.
Right.
So when I started to think, I was like, I got to put myself in his shoes. And mentally, we don't know what somebody's going through.
Right, exactly.
Mentally, he probably could have went back out there and probably did something crazy. Probably injured himself, injured somebody else. Yeah. I don't know. But I also have to think because, you know, I have another brother who developed paranoid schizophrenia.
Oh,
now, let me tell you this. He was cold. He taught Vontae. Check this out. He's 3 years younger than Vontae. Mm-hmm. And he taught Vontae how to play football a little bit.
Wow.
I walked in the house one day, Mike and Vontae. Vontae was in 11th grade. Mike was what, like eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, I was like, this is not happening. My grandmother walked in. I was like, no, this is not happening. Mm. He was showing Vontae what to do.
Dang.
It was crazy.
Okay.
Michael Davis is his name.
Okay.
And I was like, this is unbelievable. This kid is a freak. And he was a freak. He could play quarterback.
And what was this condition you just named?
He developed paranoid schizophrenia.
Paranoid
schizophrenia.
Wow.
Yeah, paranoid schizophrenia. And it was crazy because I was taking him along too. You know, I was kind of, I'd go home, I'd go home and.
You being the big bro.
Yeah, he'd be my quarterback, whatever I
run,
he'd be my quarterback.
Right.
So I was thinking, I was like, man, everybody has these things that they develop over time. Not saying that he had what Michael had,
right.
But he probably had some things going on mentally that we can't understand, only
absolutely.
He understood what it was. So that gave me some comfort there because I had to kind of sympathize and figure
kind of take
it out.
A step back and look at it from a different perspective, from a football player.
Right. And still to this day, you know, sometimes like, you know, I don't really know the root of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that it was, you know, he was just, it was done. You know, he wanted to walk on his own terms.
Mm.
But that's, I still don't know what he knows. Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
I don't know. But will he ever tell me? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think for a lot of people that witnessed and heard and saw him, they was like, yo, he quit at halftime. Like, what? I'm like, this has got to be a wrong.
Yeah.
Misreporting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy because we never seen it. It made history.
Absolutely.
But now what I tell him, I said, everything can turn into a positive, but you gotta turn it into a way where it makes sense for everybody to be able to understand.
To understand.
You know
I'm sure
what I mean?
At some point he'll be able to tell his story the way that he needs to and when he feels comfortable.
Exactly.
To tell that story.
Exactly.
But like you said, I mean, now mental health is a big thing.
Right.
And, you know, with each and every individual, anything that may happen, we don't know what they're thinking, what they're going through at home. They could be dealing with, you know, all types of issues. Baby mama drama, just traumatic trauma from, you know, when they were growing up.
Exactly.
I mean, anything could have triggered. I mean, all the things that are going on in this world, you know, from the pandemic, you know, all the riots and protests and things that are going on in the world. It can trigger anybody to do anything.
And his story can change a lot of lives.
Right, right.
Depending on how he relayed the message. So,
yeah.
I mean, so.
Cool. I mean, because it could have happened, I don't want to think worst case scenario, but like you say, go back out there and something bad happened.
Something bad could have happened.
You know, as we all know, like that game, it moves too fast for you to be out there thinking.
Right, and then why did he do that? What was he thinking?
And if you ain't thinking correctly, one play can change a lot of things. I mean, injuries.
What?
I mean,
exactly.
For the rest of your life, you see a lot of guys just get injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
So, kudos. I mean, kudos to him for really being recognizing.
Honest with
yourself, man. Yeah, exactly. Self-aware. Yeah. Being self-aware.
Self-aware.
So how many like injuries did you end up having like during your
career? I never had surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, I never had surgery during my career. I never had any
crazy.
Surgery.
You know what?
14 years.
I don't think I did neither. I know somebody who did. This guy. He's soft. Yeah, this dude gets hurt playing softball. Yeah. How you gonna get hurt playing softball not considered soft? You know what I'm saying?
Call it what you want.
So,
you're supposed to get injured playing hardball.
Right. Yeah. So you played in two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls.
1-1.
1-1.
Lost one with the Niners.
Yeah. But you leave it up to Frank Gore, he gonna laugh at me. He say, man, you ain't giving that Super Bowl, dog. You gonna live for 2 months, dog.
Don't count.
I talked to him the other day. I was making fun of him for fighting. I was like, I'm gonna be at that fight. I'm going to that fight on Friday. I'm gonna be right there. He was, you know, he just always joking and stuff. He tried to change the subject, talking about the Super Bowl. Oh, he ain't with that Super Bowl, dog.
I was there. I won.
So, I mean, that's a good question. So, because, I mean, I think about a lot of guys that, you know, that won Super Bowls, but they really, they on practice squad, they got rings, but they...
Yeah, do you...
They really didn't contribute to it in a sense, but does that make them better than me because they have a Super Bowl ring and I don't, you know what I mean? And he doesn't, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of guys that, like you said, we're in the same boat. There's a lot of guys that got rings and we don't.
There's a lot of guys.
And they're not as good as you, but they got Super Bowl
rings. And they walk around saying, I got rings. I'll be like, oh, I'll be mad.
So does it make them better than us?
No, but personally, I don't want people to hear me say that, but it makes me upset.
Yeah. I know.
So
it
how
is,
do you
man,
feel,
it's
though?
Crazy.
Even though you went there but a couple of months, you spent a number of hours and years in San Francisco, went to a Super Bowl, and you lost. So how do they rank? I mean.
You know, it's interesting, man, because, like, man, that game where we lost, man, I put so much. Just, I think about the time when I first came in the door all the way up into that game, right? Mm. I'm grateful, even though we didn't win it, because it's the being able to get there. Mm. You know, because you...
journey to
the journey,
path.
Right? Yeah. All those losses and negative stuff that happened along the way that turned into positive and then the positive outcome at the end. Yeah, it hurts, but you still have to appreciate that journey even getting there. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? You and your brothers getting there.
Absolutely.
And then being able to go on a team, get traded, and go to a team where, you actually get a ring with this team.
With this team.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So did you feel as elated, you know what I mean, as you think if you would have won it in San Francisco, do you think the elation would have been the same?
Yeah, it's different.
That's what I want to know. I mean,
it's different because, like, I just happened to walk on a team who already had that momentum, and I go there. Yeah, it's a blessing. I'm grateful to be able to share that with them, but it would feel different if it was one with the team that I came from. You know what I'm saying?
Or you were there from the very beginning.
Exactly. I was there from since training camp.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? From the day. You know what I mean? It's just different. You know what I mean?
So Frank is right.
You got 100%.
I can't even really.
So Frank is right. But
so it's almost like you got
No.
That's what
he'd
be saying.
It's like almost like getting honorable mention. You know what I mean?
Right. You're not really taking it, but I want a first team.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's all right, man. Mm-hmm. But at least, again, I like how you said it numerous times on the show. You're turning everything that happens into a positive. Right?
Yeah.
That's the best message for life concept more than just football, obviously.
What was being that we're talking about that, what was a turning point or a point where you felt like there was growth in your career? I probably may know where you may go with this.
There was growth.
Yeah, because I know there was an issue with San Francisco, Mike Singletary, you guys had, kind of bumped heads, and I think it may have seen some interviews where you kind of discussed kind of like what you were going through at that time.
I think that could be a moment where there was growth, because during that time, I was just trying to find myself.
Right. Yeah, it may not be that.
I was trying to find myself and just, I was just finding myself. And at the moment, before that moment, I don't think I deserved the right to do things my way. You know, certain people, you know, you might look at them and be like, can they do things? Do they deserve the right to do things their way? Like for you, you deserve the right to do things.
Like
a lot of people might say certain things about you and he did this way, but we have to really understand, we have to dig deep and see the pain that people, our life is controlled. Will Smith, he said, our life is controlled by the fears that we have, right? Mm-hmm. The fears and the things that we went through in our life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Certain people, that's how they control, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it takes people a certain time to get to where, to a certain point, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But that's what's controlling them. Mm-hmm. That's how they thrive, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
But for me, yeah, that was me, but do I deserve the right to, do I get the right to do that at that point? What have I done? I didn't do enough in the NFL to be able to go to Coach Sinkter and say, look, I got it. Mm-hmm. I didn't deserve that right. So I feel like that was a big turning point in my life because I was still trying to find out myself as a player.
When you say you went to him, you say, I got it. What were you talking about?
No, I couldn't say that.
You couldn't say
I couldn't go to him then. Because I didn't do nothing.
Right.
I was showing sparks, I was doing things, right. But it wasn't to that point where I had that turning point where, you know, all right, yeah, okay. And he made me understand and say, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do. Okay, yeah, I want to do things this way, mm-hmm. right? So that was a turning point for me in my life.
That's powerful.
Just having him there, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's self-awareness.
And then when I did turn, it was just like, I looked around, I was like, okay, yeah, I like this. I like this direction, so I'm going to keep on doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to keep on doing it this way, right. The way he wanted me to do it, the way he showed me how to do it.
Because right. you guys got to see both sides of it. I never saw you guys' side of it because I hadn't done enough. My stats were never good enough to be like, yo, do it my way, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going up against a corner, right, and Jerry can go release any way he wants and they throw the ball, you'd be like, well, if I can release any way I want, I would have did that too. But I can only go outside.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you get to that 10th year.
But you're going to tell him he's just working for him.
There you go. Right. So y'all got to that 10th year and you can do
so
it. So y'all seen both sides. I never saw that side.
Yeah.
I've never seen that side. But for you to be self-aware of that, say, yeah, at that point I wasn't there. And then after your 7th, 8th year when you was, you know, skyrocketing upwards, like you got to see both sides of it.
Yeah, both sides. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so. You don't want to go rogue. You know what I mean? Just do things however you want it. There's a plan. There's a reason, a rhyme and a reason you do certain things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You don't want to curse out your wide receivers coach on national television. So
no,
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Get your popcorn ready.
Just frustrated. I didn't curse him out.
You sure. cursed at that man.
No, I didn't curse him out.
You used one curse word.
No, I just told him I needed the ball.
You didn't say a curse word as you were saying I needed the ball.
I do not recall. I do not recall.
Get your man.
Get
your man.
Before. I cursed out my coach.
I did not recall.
I wanted the ball. I did. I
you cursed
ball.
Him out?
I did.
But
I mean,
you did, like, but you didn't.
I did, but then when he raised his voice, it was my tight ends coach. I said, throw me the fucking ball, that coach.
Right.
Then he raised his voice. I said, oh, shit. I said, okay, let me get myself.
Right.
He was tough. So
right.
I said, let me back down.
It wasn't like, if you say cuss word, it's not like you're cursing at him,
but if you use that word though.
It's not a frustration.
Take it that way.
And I'm gonna tell you, man, it's tough, man, being a wide receiver. Well, you're a basketball player, you can control certain things, but as a wide receiver, the quarterback's not throwing you the
don't
ball.
Touch it. You're
things not.
Somebody
if
else.
You used to having success and it's not happening the way it happened the last game, man, that's the most frustrating thing there is, man.
He doesn't know.
To be able to leave a
about.
Game and not have 100.
Talk to me.
Be able to leave
talk
a
game. Talk to me, dog. He doesn't know what you're
leave
talking about.
Leave a game
about.
And not have 100 yards, right. 150 yards, or two touchdowns. Man, that's the hardest damn thing to do in the days, man. It's hard, man.
Because
you had it, you feel it, and you want it every freaking time, man. So how can you control that desire and
I do understand. I just didn't. Y'all had Randy Moss on this side and Chris Carter on this side. I still think that I should have got the ball. I don't care what you all think. I still think that I should have been the number one on the route. That's how I feel. That's not going to change ever in my life. It's not going to change.
The coaches had other thoughts. They had other things in mind.
Absolutely. And it wasn't getting me the ball. Right. It's all good.
But yeah, I can relate to you right there. Yeah. We were on one accord. Right?
I hate y'all. But no, we appreciate you coming out, though, man.
Thanks
share
for having
some time
me, man.
With us. Tell everybody where they can find you out on social media.
Yeah, you can find me at VernonDavis85. You can follow everything I post. Everything is always on my story, on my feed. Just, you know, stay in tune and, you know, just stay close and you see everything that I'm doing.
Yeah, the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, look out for those kids. Look out for those Davis boys.
The Davis boys is coming.
They coming. Because you said your son, but he's about, what, 6'2"? You said two,
six, he's about 6'2", 215 pounds.
An eighth grader.
Strong,
yeah,
dude, that's
big. Coming.
215,
Davis boys.
Bro. I wasn't 215. Weighing 215 till I got into pros.
Dude, when I was in eighth, he's in eighth grade. When I was in eighth grade, that's I was right. weighing 180 pounds.
I was weighing about 140.
When I left high school, I was 185.
Yeah, he's big, bro. His hands are the size of mine. He's big. Oh, yeah. Dude, he's huge. I can show you a picture. You'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
The letters are coming.
Yep, get ready.
So like T.O. said, get your popcorn, ladies and gentlemen.
Get your popcorn ready. The Davis boys are coming.
They coming. Peace. Yeah.